Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pazenia. I'm a Passionist priest. And in recent programs, I've been sharing about the 12-step program and specifically Alcoholics Anonymous. And I want to continue to do that for one more program. And I want to share with you from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. After John the Baptist was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God. And he said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." I heard about a man who was exploring canyons in the western part of the United States, and he came to a precipice, and he looked down, and it was about a mile down. And as he was looking, and he was marveling at how deep it was, all of a sudden a gust of wind came, and he hit the man, and he pushed him right over the edge of the cliff. Luckily, there was a strong branch sticking out right over the precipice, and as the man fell, he was able to grab a hold of the branch. So there he was, dangling between heaven and earth, and he didn't know what to do. He couldn't see anybody, so he just decided to yell out, and he said, "Help! Is there anybody out there?" And all of a sudden he heard a voice, "This is God. Let go, and I'll catch you." And he said, "Is there anybody else out there?" Well, watch this. You know what that is? That is letting go and letting God. That is one of the great precepts and great sayings of the 12-step program. In classic spirituality, we call that surrender, abandoning, relinquishing yourself to God. Christianity teaches, and I've found this out in my own life, and hopefully you have too, that God cares for us. I love what 1 Peter says, "Cast your cares on God because God cares for you." I love that play on words. And so God does care for us. Haven't you sensed that in your life? He's given you life, and he's sustained you and protected you up to this point now, and we can believe that he's going to take care of you in the future. He's not just an ambiguous, hard to relate to, out there somewhere, higher power. God is your Father. He's a person, and he's concerned about your life. He cares about your life. He's invested in your life, and he's at work in your life. When Jesus taught, he was an outdoors type person. He was a carpenter, as we know. He walked a lot outside. He would tell life stories from his life experience. So when he talked about the care of God, he said, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, and they don't gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them." He said, "Look at the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin, yet not Solomon in all of his glory was arrayed like one of these." And then he said, if God will take care of the birds of the air, and if he'll take care of the flowers of the field, how much more will he take care of you, O you of little faith? So we can believe in the care of God. I remember I had that read at my profession. I go like this because I've been a Passionist now for 33 years. And at my profession, that's like my wedding day, when I gave my heart to God and to the community, the Passionist community, and professed my vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, as well as the vow to meditate upon the Passion, I had that read at my profession because I totally surrendered to the care of God. I believed that God was going to take care of me, and God does, and God did, and God will. And he'll take care of you too. I'm inviting you to make a surrender. See, that is the axis, really, of the 12-step program, the hub. If you know what a wheel looks like on a car, you see the axis right in the middle. You see the hub right in the middle, and the axle right in the middle, around which the wheel rotates. The 12-step program really rotates around this third step. We made a surrender of our will, of our self to God. Now, Bill Wilson was the one who wrote the 12-step program, who composed it with Dr. Bob. And Dr. Bob and Bill W. were influenced by a Jesuit priest. His name was Father Ed Dowling. And the Jesuits have this great spirituality of certainly discernment and examination of conscience, but this spirituality of surrender. And by the way, in my own life, this has been a spirituality that I have adopted. And sometimes you read about things and you learn about things in the spiritual life and they kind of come and go. But surrender came and stayed. It has never gone away. Every day when I pray, I come before God and I say, Lord, I surrender to you. I give you my heart. I give you my will. Or, Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, control me. And this is exactly what Jesus did. The word in the Greek, it comes from the letter to the Philippians. The word in the Greek is kenosis. And I love that word because I think it's at the heart of Catholic spirituality. It's at the heart of the 12-step program too. Kenosis. That word in the Greek means Jesus, though he was in the form of God, he kenosis. He emptied himself and didn't deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Remember, he let go. And he became human. And he humbled himself even further and gave himself up to death, death even on a cross. So kenosis is a humility where you empty yourself. The main problem that people seem to have is that they are self-absorbed. They think too highly of themselves, or they're too self-important. And so that can lead to drinking and to addictions, and because, you know, you have your own opinions and you think that you're right all the time, and your life becomes unmanageable. Well, the way out of the whole mess, the solution to the problem, and there is a solution, I keep telling you that program after program after program, that's right from the big book, there is a solution, and that solution is to admit that you have a problem, especially if you're addicted. You recognize that God can help you, you believe, and then you surrender to the care of God, surrender your will. So as I said, Father Ed Dowling, a Jesuit priest, influenced Bill W. and Dr. Bob. And in the Jesuit spirituality, there is this great movement of surrender. Any saint that you like has surrendered to God. I think of St. Francis of Assisi stripping himself naked in front of his dad, the bishop at the town square, giving himself to God and saying, I have no father but my Father in heaven. Wow, that was a great moment of surrender. St. Paul of the Cross, founder of the Passionist community, he said, immerse yourself in the ocean of God's love. Oh, that's so good. And so really, any saint that you know of or love has had this spirituality of surrender. And as I said, every day in my life, I continue to surrender. It is a process. And by the way, the 12-step program, we call it a program. It's kind of like, if you know in Catholicism, the RCIA program, Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. It's a program by which people, adults, join the church. But it's more than a program. It's a process. It's an ongoing journey. I call it a pilgrimage. It's a faith journey, a pilgrimage. And it's not a one-time thing. You don't just admit that you have a problem, believe in God, surrender, pray, do a fifth step. You don't just do that one time. You do it over and over and over again. It's like confession. You don't just go to confession once if you're Catholic. You go over and over again. Why? Because when you go to confession, you're not perfect. You're forgiven, but you're still flawed. You still have humanness. And you need to progress. That's why I named this program, this episode, Progression, Not Perfection. And that's exactly what God spoke to me one time. One time I went to confession and I was beating myself up after because I wasn't perfect. And God shared deep in my heart this whisper, Cedric, progression, not perfection. Now we strive to be perfect. We strive for virtue. But the bottom line is it's an over and over and over again process of surrender. So in the Jesuit spirituality, there's this wonderful movement of surrender. And if you've ever heard about the story of St. Ignatius of Loyola, St. Ignatius of Loyola founded the Jesuit community. His name was Ignacio Lopez, and he wanted to be a great military leader. He was fighting for the King of Spain. He had this goal, this dream before him. He was going to be a military leader and do great things. Well, suffering interrupted that. By the way, I've talked to you before about the role of suffering. Suffering can be sobering. It was C.S. Lewis who said that God whispers in our pleasures, but shouts in our sufferings. Suffering is the megaphone of God. And if you're suffering with an addiction, if you're suffering with anger or a relationship problem or stuck in some sin of some sort, God is shouting to you. And he's shouting to you that things can change, that he wants to help you, that he wants to be a major part of your life in the suffering. And would you make a surrender right where you are right now? So anyway, Ignacio Lopez, he was fighting for the King of Spain, wanted to be a military leader, and a French cannonball came, changed all that, almost blew his leg off. Now here he is in the hospital suffering, recuperating. They didn't have TV back then. Long days in the hospital. Somebody gave him a book of the saints. And as he's reading, as he's flipping through the book and reading about the lives of the saints and their surrender to God, their relinquishment, their abandonment to God, every saint, as I've told you, no matter who your favorite saint is, they have given themselves completely to God the best they could. Ignatius decided to make a surrender, and he did. And it went something like this. Take, Lord, receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, my entire will. You have given all to me, and I return it. Give me only your love and your grace. That's enough for me. Wow. He ended up abandoning his plans to be a military leader when he got out of the hospital. Because he made that great surrender, he sensed that God was calling him not to be a military leader. Remember, he surrendered his will to God. That's what the third step is. You surrender your will to God, your memory, your understanding, your entire will, all your liberty, you give it to God. And so he ended up becoming a Catholic priest. He heard a call to the priesthood in his surrender. And not only that, as you know, St. Ignatius of Loyola became a saint. And he became the founder of the Jesuits. Our present Pope, Pope Francis, is a Jesuit. That wonderful, wonderful spirituality of surrender. So if you are stuck in an addiction, if you are stuck in anger, if you're stuck in envy or gluttony, if you're stuck in any area of your life, maybe there's a resentment, I'm going to invite you to make a surrender to God. Surrender your will. The problem with an addiction is you lose willpower. You can't control yourself. You have this irresistible urge toward that addiction. Well, you have to give your will over to God, who will strengthen you to be able to make good decisions and to have sobriety and to come to recovery and to come to a deeper relationship with God. Al-Anon is for spouses of alcoholics. And they have to make a surrender too. Spouses, family members of alcoholics. You want to talk about suffering and pain and affliction and trials and tribulation and abuse and dysfunction. Well, if you have somebody in your family who's drinking, you need help. You need surrender. You need a coping strategy. You need serenity in the midst of all that craziness. I remember a woman came up to me one time. She said, Father Cedric, you preach about prayer all the time and surrendering to God and having God as Lord of your life. She said, you know, I believe in God and I pray to God. She said, but God doesn't hear my prayer. I looked at her, I said, what do you mean God doesn't hear your prayer? She said, my husband is an alcoholic. He's been an alcoholic for many years. I have pleaded with God to make that stop, to bring him to sobriety, to help him to overcome his addiction. Hasn't happened. He's still the same. In fact, sometimes he's even worse, and it's driving me crazy. So God doesn't hear my prayer. And what do you say to that, Father Cedric? And I kind of smiled at her, and I said, well, what you need to learn is the wisdom of the 12-step program. And the wisdom of the 12-step program says that you may not be able to change somebody else, but you can change. And I shared with her that beautiful prayer of Reinhold Niebuhr. 12-step program has adopted this prayer. You all heard it. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Wow. You see, the people around you may not change, but you can change. And that's why we have something called Al-Anon meetings. Al-Anon meetings aren't for alcoholics per se. They're for the spouses and the family members of alcoholics. Because what happens when you go to these meetings, you learn coping strategies. You begin to change. Their behavior may not change, but your behavior can change. You learn about something called codependency. Codependency is when you base your happiness and your self-worth and your self-image on the behavior of somebody else. So in other words, if they're nice to you and they're lovable toward you, you're good, you're happy about yourself. But if they're in a drinking fit and they become abusive, you start blaming yourself. So you're dependent on the mood of the drinker. You're up and you're down depending on how they are and their behavior. That's called dependency. You're codependent on another person. So you learn about coping strategies and that your self-worth and your self-image and the way you feel about yourself isn't dependent on somebody else. It's dependent on your relationship with God. If you're going to be codependent with anybody, be codependent with God, not with people. So that's what I meant when I talked to that woman about, you know, you may not be able to change your husband, but you can change. Because you have to learn about self-care. Because really, when it comes to dealing with an alcoholic or anybody else in an addiction, those of you know, if you have somebody in your family who's a drug addict or somebody who's into pornography or gambling, you know that in your relations with them, good enough is never good enough. But it's not your fault. They're dealing with their stuff. You have to take care of yourself in a healthy way. So you can change. And how do you do that? By going to meetings, Al-Anon meetings. I invite you to try it. If you have an alcoholic in your family and you know what the word insanity means because they're driving you crazy and they're not changing, work on yourself. I invite you to try going to an Al-Anon meeting. This is advice I give to people in the confessional, people that are struggling with this. Some people don't even know that there was something called an Al-Anon meeting. Exercise. Take care of yourself, as I said. Maybe go shopping. Do something that you like. And then there are strategies of coping with people. Detachment. You can detach emotionally from a person. Doesn't mean that you don't love them. You still love them. Still try to live with them the best you can. But as I said, just because they're down, you don't have to be down. Just because they're up, you don't have to be. It's like a roller coaster ride. So you detach emotionally from the person. You learn about this in the meetings by reading about codependency. Forgiveness is so important. Now, let me just throw this out at you. If you're being abused verbally, many people are in these dysfunctional relationships. This is something that you're going to have to maybe talk with somebody else about, a priest, a counselor, because you're going to need strength, inner strength. God will help you, but you got to talk these things out. But the bottom line is that you can forgive. The best you can, with God's help, you can forgive. And then along with detachment and forgiveness, of course, don't react all the time. You know, if the person is way dysfunctional, just don't go overboard in your spur-of-the-moment reactions. You're a person of dignity. You're a person of self-worth. You are a daughter and a son of God. You can respond. You don't have to react. Jesus put it this way: turn the other cheek. In other words, if somebody comes against you, you don't have to strike them back. You can be strong. And so I just wanted to share a little bit about codependency and about Al-Anon, because it's a major part of the 12-step program. So you can change, is the bottom line. You can take care of yourself. Personal change is at the heart of Christianity. Christianity 101 says that you don't have to stay stuck. You can keep moving. You can change. That's why I read that gospel to you. Jesus, when he came into Galilee, preached the good news, the gospel. That's what the word gospel means. And he said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom is at hand. God is present. Repent and believe in the good news. And what was Jesus saying? The word repent, metanoia in the Greek, it simply means change. Change your mind. Change your behavior. You can change. Jesus' first sermon, this is Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. His first sermon said, you can change. And that's the message, I think, of the 12-step program. You don't have to stay stuck. You can keep moving. You can change, whether it be in your relationships that are dysfunctional, whether it be with an addiction, and in your moral life. And that brings me to the steps, step 4 and 5, and they go together. It's really important. Step 4 is, get this, and this is how you change. After admitting, after believing in God, after surrendering to God, you got to do some more. And you keep working these steps. You make a searching, fearless, this is right out of the 12-step program, fearless, you're not afraid to look within, ethics, morality, sin, integrity. The 12-step program puts it this way: character defects are so important in the recovery process, because addictions and character defects go together. In the 12-step program, what we're trying to do, and this is why people come together in groups, we're trying to get to the roots of the drinking. We're trying to get to the bottom of all this. Why are you drinking? Yeah, you're not happy. Yeah, you've got problems in life. Yeah, you're nervous, whatever it is. But there's deeper roots. There's character defects, and you got to get to the heart of that. And as you do, you can come to, with God's help, total abstinence. You can come to recovery, and you can stay there as you keep, remember, not perfection, progression. You keep working the steps. You keep moving forward. So anyway, really quickly, you have to look within, a fearless, searching moral inventory. And as you do that, you can identify what's in there and you can change. On my missions, and I preach parish missions around the country, I always have confession or reconciliation one of the nights of the parish mission. At that reconciliation, before I actually preach, I hand out to the hundreds of people that come, I hand out a form, and on the form is an examination of conscience. Now, this is right from Jesuit spirituality, the examine. You look at what's within. And I list things like anger and gluttony and sloth, you know, the seven deadly, lust, and all these different areas that people can have. And I list them not to make people feel guilty. I'm trying to help people to look within. And I've discovered that people in the 12-step program are adept. They're very introspective, and they're able to really look within in beautiful ways and identify what's in there. And that leads to what's called the fifth step. The fifth step is confession. Even if you're not Catholic, you know that confession is good for the soul. It's a catharsis. It's something that can help you. You lay your burdens down. That's why it says in the Bible, confess your sins to one another that you be healed. And a fifth step, and I've heard many of them, is when a person comes, even if they're not Catholic, to a trusted counselor or a priest, and they lay their burdens down. They talk about everything and anything that they've ever done. And as I said, so introspective. so personal. In Catholic terminology, we call it a general confession. You look at your whole life and you lay it down. You tell your sins, your character defects. And it says in the Delphi in Greece, there's an inscription, "Know thyself." So these steps, the first step, admitting, believing in God, your higher power, surrendering to God, examining your heart, confessing your sins, and then making amends, praying, telling others about the 12-step program. These are the 12 steps, and they are a solution to the problem, and a solution that works. You know, if you have a problem, if you're stuck, if you are in an addiction, the 12-step program is a secular fellowship. It's not a religion, but it's a spiritual program. And it does work. Millions have found sobriety and recovery and a relationship with God through it. So there is a solution. Total abstinence through the 12-step program by the help of God. And remember, it's progression, not perfection. We're after growth and maturity. And it happens step by step. You keep working the steps. You don't give up. And it's good for all people, whether you have an addiction or not. These principles to admit that you have a problem, you believe in God, you surrender to God, you pray to God, it's good for Catholics, it's good for non-Catholics, it's good for those who are addicted, and it's good for those who aren't. So as I conclude now, I am praying that if there is a problem, especially in addiction, an area in your life where you need help, that you will admit it. You will believe in God who can help you. You will realize that your powerlessness, that you are powerless, but God's got the power to help you, and you will make a surrender to God. And as you do, I am believing that God is going to work in you in a powerful way, that God's going to bring good out of the crooked lines of your life, that all things will work to good in your life, and that there is a solution to your problem, and that solution is God. And may God touch you and bless you as you surrender your life to God. I want to leave you with some 12-step sayings, and I pray they touch your heart. One day at a time. Easy does it. Let go and let God. But for the grace of God, there go I. And the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.